Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, as you know, this broadcast is about abiding in Christ. And what that means is that our life is in Christ. It's not just a matter of following rules. It's not a matter of just checking certain doctrinal boxes that, yes, I believe this, yes, I believe this. We're talking about a relationship with Jesus. And when you know Jesus in a personal way, it changes things. A lot of folks that I've known over the years spent years and years believing doctrinal truth. They actually accepted as truth, this is what the Bible says, therefore I believe it. I was one of those people. I started out my life being taught the truth by parents who made it believable. They loved the Lord, they loved each other, they loved their kids, and so when they talked about God being loving, I could believe that. They were honest and truthful, so when they talked about God being truthful, I could believe that. What they said about Jesus, the fact that we've all sinned, the fact that we deserve hell, the fact that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins so that instead of going to hell, we could have eternal life. I believed that. They said it was true. I accepted it as truth. I was sincere in my faith, but my faith was basically an intellectual faith. I simply believed the doctrines to be true. It wasn't that I secretly doubted. I sincerely believed. But I never trusted Jesus. I didn't have a relationship with him. I wasn't looking to him and resting in him. I simply believed what I'd been told. This is what mom and dad said. Okay, I accept that. I was literally awakened from slumber as I was dozing off to sleep one night. While still in childhood, I snapped awake with a horrifying realization. And that is, all this time I've believed in God, but I've never asked him to save me. In other words, I believed it was true, but I didn't act like I believed it was true. I believed doctrinally that Jesus had risen from the dead and was alive, but I'd never really talked to him. I'd said little prayers, prayers that I was taught, perfectly good prayers. But I was saying a prayer instead of praying. I wasn't talking with God and from the heart. I was simply reciting what I'd been taught, because that's what you do before you go to sleep. Now, suddenly, I wanted to talk to God. Suddenly, I felt, by God's grace, because of the work of His Spirit, I felt a deep awareness of the fact that I needed to be saved, that I had indeed sinned, and that I did deserve God's wrath, and that my only hope was Jesus. And so I prayed a very simple prayer, asking him to forgive my sins and save me. And you know what? He did. He did what he promised. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You don't have to worry about making a speech. You don't have to worry about using the right words. The question is, do you know that you need a Savior and that Jesus is it? Do you recognize that you need him? When Jesus comes into your life as Lord and Savior. He changes you. And so today on the broadcast, we're going to have a very candid conversation with a man that many of you have encountered on your televisions, and some of you were probably pleased to hear what he had to say, and others of you probably wanted to change the channel. But I'll tell you this, I believe his testimony of what Jesus has done in his life is very sincere, and I want you to hear what he has to say. Our guest is Mike Lindell, the MyPillow Man. Folks, my guest today is Mike Lindell. We've had him on this broadcast before, and the reason is not to sell pillows. The reason is because we want people to know Jesus, and we want people to know the amazing change that Jesus will make in your life if you will surrender yourself to him. Mike is famous for MyPillow and actually a number of other products as well. But Mike should be famous because of Jesus. Jesus has changed his life, and he has a new book out that is sharing that. It's titled, What Are the Odds? This man has a testimony that is one of the most remarkable I've ever heard, and I've heard a lot of testimonies. Mike, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks. It's great to be here. Yeah, it's called What Are the Odds? From Crack Addict to CEO.
You know, I have shared with a number of people the story of your meeting with some potential investors and saying that basically you were in recovery, and they asked how long you'd been clean, and what was your answer?
Well, actually, they said, when did you quit crack? Because I went on this long spiel, and I said last Thursday.
And despite that, God got one of them to go ahead and help, didn't he?
Well, four of the eight left the room. The other four pooled their money and did it anyway. They still don't know why they did it. And it was a very short-term loan that I needed for corrupt people that were stealing my company. And they did it. And we know it was a divine appointment. It was a divine intervention.
Absolutely. Because only God could get those guys to do that, whoever they were. That's tremendous.
So many miracles like that. I look back on my life, you know, my book, it's you have a one in a million, a one in a billion, or something happens that's completely put off to chance. You got to look at your own life and say, well, when do you consider it a miracle? And
yeah.
That was my life.
Amen. Well, I am so glad that God worked many miracles to put you where you are today. You have not only been very open and humble in sharing your testimony in various venues, but you've also helped make it possible for some other folks to share their testimony. I understand that you were a major factor in bringing the movie Unplanned to the public.
Right, and that was when they approached me. That was over a year ago now, and I was actually heading to Israel. I was in on the tarmac, and my phone rang, and the guy says, Mike, it was a guy I hadn't talked to in 3 years, and he said, I got a couple of producers on the line here, Mike, and I said, who is this? And he told me, and I said, producer what? He says, we have a movie, and we prayed about it, and you're going to be in our movie. I said, well, I haven't prayed about it. What's the movie? And you know, they wanted me to do a cameo in their movie. And they told me what it was, this true story of Abby Johnson, and
yep.
Worked for Planned Parenthood and left there after she seen what was going on. And I prayed up, got off the phone. I said, I'll call you back. I prayed about it with my gal, Kendra, and it wasn't even 3 minutes. I got just yes, for sure.
And praise
God. When I called them back, and they said, oh, and by the way, I want this to be a great movie, not just a great message. And I said, I will not get behind anything that isn't, you know, that isn't quality or whatever. So I wanted the movie to be good. And they said, well, it was a $6 million budget, and they were short $1 million. I said, well, when do you need it by? And they said, well, we need it right now, or the movie's not going to happen in this timely way. And I said, so I wired money in the next 2 minutes without even having a contract or anything. I did it on faith and got back from Israel and went to that. We filmed the movie, and it was absolutely on God's timing, and it was.
Yeah.
And I was so amazed at the results.
Yeah. It's tremendous. It's tremendous. Well, thank you on behalf of those of us who didn't have $1 million to put into it. Thank you very much for being obedient to the Lord's prompting, being open to the Lord's prompting and doing what he told you. We are so grateful for the way that you have been willing to step up and really not only share in words, but with your life and with your resources, your gratitude to God for what he's done. Tell us a little bit of your story and how God transformed your life.
Well, I can give you a brief version. I believe all addiction comes from childhood, fatherlessness, things like that, and trauma, and it manifests into addictions. Well, my story, I was 7 years old when my parents divorced, and divorces weren't common back then. I got put into a new school, and I was either... I couldn't talk to people. I was very shy, or I would show off. There was two opposite extremes.
Yeah.
I would jump out of a moving bus window to show off and to try and fit in. And I look back now, and even throughout my life, if I wouldn't talk to strangers. I just said, "Oh, I don't like small talk." But for me, mm-hmm. it was a fear of rejection. You don't get rejected if you don't talk to people. And
yeah.
this unworthiness inside of me, and all these things that had happened back then, and. And in the 1980s, though, I was introduced to cocaine, and I was immediately hooked on it because I could talk to people. And I was a very functioning cocaine addict for 20 years, always an entrepreneur, had a couple different businesses. My sister mm-hmm. flooded a third-story building with their waterbed, and I became a carpet cleaner. But then in the 90s, I actually had a small-town bar for 13 years, which wasn't a good place for an addict, but... I raised the family 20 years, and we had the kids. We were very, like I say, very functioning addicts. But then in the 2000s, it switched to crack cocaine. And mm-hmm. There was something that the paranoias and everything that came with that was just insurmountable. And crack takes you down so fast. Well, all addiction does, but this one's was very accelerated. I lost my bars, and basically I had to sell them, which I look back, I say, oh, this was horrible at the time. It was like breaking up a family.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I look back, and I wouldn't change a thing if I wasn't where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
But I invented the pillow in 2004, and I got it in a dream from God. And now God has been chasing me my whole life where I would actually talk to my friends and stuff after the bar closed, say, you know, we should quit these drugs. And I'd tell them about reading the Bible in jail and stuff. And I don't know, I would tell them all these things. And the next day they would quit and find Jesus. And I'm going, what did I say? I'm losing friends. And nobody ever called me a hypocrite. But that was me trying to convince myself.
Yeah.
You know, I believed in God, but I didn't have that personal relationship with Jesus. And this,
yes.
this went on now. And invented my pillow. And take you through that. I was turned down everywhere. It took me a year to invent, and I kept getting these God dreams, I was turned down everywhere, and I ended up doing home shows and fairs for about 5 years. But during that time, people tried to take the company. I a full-blown crack addict at the same time. All this adversity that happened that's actually in my book.
Mm-hmm.
I lost a 20-year marriage. We lost our house. We lost everything. In 2008, the drug dealers actually did an intervention on me in the fall of divorced in 2007. In 2008, the pillow company was just a small little pulse, like a heartbeat, and that
yeah.
was, and every so often it would beat. And one of the things during that whole stretch, I never broke trust with the show promoters and stuff. I protected that like it was gold. And God protected me, too, during that time. But in the spring of 2008, the drug dealers did an intervention. I had been up for 14 days, and I came out of the room. I was downtown Minneapolis, came out, and I said, what are you guys doing here? I didn't know they all knew each other. He goes, well, they knew of each other, but they had never met. Three of the biggest dealers in the cities that controlled all these people, these other dealers.
Yeah.
And they said, we're cutting Mike off. He's been up for 14 days. And the one guy goes, I'm leaving. You ain't getting anything from my guys. And the other guy, he went down to the street. I found out later he spread the word or whatever. But finally, the last guy went to sleep. He said, how many crack rocks you have left? And he showed him it. He finally went to sleep about 2 in the morning. And I snuck down to the streets of Minneapolis and went everywhere for an hour, and I couldn't buy crack from anyone, and nobody would sell me any crack. And I came back upstairs, and he said, "How'd that work out for you?" And I was all upset, and he said, "Give me your phone." And he grabbed my phone, and he took a picture. He says, "I'm taking a picture of you. You've been telling us for years that this pillow is just a platform for God, and you're going to come back someday and help us all out of addiction and get us out of this life cycle." And that picture he took is on the cover of my book. It's a hologram that changes from 14 days up to where I'm at today.
And, praise God.
And but I didn't quit that day. It was January 16, 2009. I knew the platform would be gone forever. I knew that God would, it was everything was closing in. I made sure I didn't have any money left and all that traditional bottom stuff that addicts talk about. But I actually prayed and said, "You know what? I'll do this platform thing. But I want to wake up in the morning and never have the desire for any of these drugs, alcohol, crack, everything, anything again, the rest of my, you know, forever." Mm-hmm. And the next day I did wake up, and those desires were gone. But now I still, during that time, 2 months later, I actually went to a faith-based treatment center to find out why I was addicted in the first place. And they planted seeds of, you know, they didn't want to talk about how much drugs we've done and all this stuff. He said, "What's your relationship with your father?" I go, "What do you mean? I have a fine relationship." And I said, "Well, they divorced when I was 7. And we started going back to wounds. And he started talking about Jesus and God, and those were seeds that were planted then. But anyway, the next couple years, I spent getting my company back. My company was completely taken by guys that had worked for me. It was a fight. It was for 2 years getting my company back. And in 2011, I told my friends and family, "Let's all pool our money, and I have a dream of an infomercial. If no box stores, nobody will take us." And everybody that I'd sold the pillow to, they just said it changed their life. And that made me feel so good. It wasn't about the money. It was about me feeling good about myself. And they'd come up to me and say, "You know, your product changed my life." And that was a blessing to me. And we went to do this infomercial, and a real producer came in and said, because I couldn't talk to people then, you know, I still could not talk. And we did our reads the night before, and he texted the other guy, and he said, "This is the worst guy I've ever seen for TV in my life. He will never make it." And I went on the next day, and he was right. It took 9 takes for the first hour. He had a teleprompter, and I said, "Can you take this?" It was a live audience. I was scared to death. Yeah. I couldn't talk in front. I couldn't talk to two people in the same room.
Yeah.
And for this fear of rejection, well, they took the teleprompter down, brought in a table, and I did it just like I did at those home shows for years.
Yeah.
And it aired October 7, 2011. In the middle of the night, I was living in my sister's basement, and we went from 5 employees to 500 in 40 days. It just exploded. But now to continue on, my pillow got so big so fast, but by the summer of 2014... Now, you always see me with my cross on TV.
Yes.
And I was always wearing my cross. And everybody's going, "Well, he's a Christian man." And then people would call me. I was the only call center then. And people would call me up and say, "You wear that cross to sell." I would get badmouthed by the Christians saying I'm using it to sell product. Or I would get badmouthed by people that I'm wearing a cross at all. And I would argue with both of them. And the person that wasn't a Christian would end up being saved by the time he got off the phone. And I still don't have that relationship, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, it goes in summer of 14, my pillow was within 2 days of going under. And I met a gal named Kendra, and I'm with her today. She had something I didn't have. She had this personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, and she goes, "You don't have that. You're not born again." And I'm going, "What are you talking about? I believe in God, and I'm wearing my cross. It's the most seen cross ever, you know, on TV." And she goes, "Well," she said, "that doesn't matter. You need to have this relationship." I knew she was right, and I even told her, "I have that." She goes, "Well, really, when were you saved?" And I'm going, I said, "I was saved on January 16, 2009. And she goes, "No, that's when you were freed of your addictions." And we argued about this for years. And now, then things started happening to me from 2015 on. I had a dream I would meet Donald Trump in a room. This is before he ran for president. I didn't know who he was. Why? That's a weird dream. And to make a long story short there, I'm picked out of 12 people at the National Prayer Breakfast to pray with Ben Carson in a room, and then I end up meeting the president in that private meeting before he was president. I walked in, it was just him and I. He said, "You always wear your cross, Mike. Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes." And I said, "This is a divine appointment, Mr. Trump." Well, we talked about all the things he was going to do, and my pillow being made in the USA and the inner cities and all these things. I walked out and go, wow, is this, you know. So I went against everybody's advice. I went all in on that. I felt God wanted me to do that. And my friends that hadn't found Jesus are going, Jesus is real. This is no way that Mike Lindell, this crack addict from Minnesota, is sitting next to the President of the United States. And they all just quit. I mean, every one of my crack friends have quit, you know, from back then. But for me, it still took more. I'm going, well, God, show me more. I knew I was on the right path. Well, on February 18, 2017, everybody listen to that. That's 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago. I went into, it's called Operation Restored Warrior. It was just for veterans, but it's kind of a five-day, you know, you get your heart restored. And I heard amazing things about it. And for me to get invited was even like a one in a billion. So I knew it was of God. I always look at things in mathematics saying, if you can't explain it, it's God, you know, these long mathematical odds. But I went in there with hope. And I walked out of there, you know, all these things that had happened to me, anybody else would have said, well, of course this is God. There's no way you're running around doing these things as it being for where I came from. And I walked in there with hope, and on February 18, 2017, I got on my knees. I did a full surrender. We went back into wounds and in this place where I walked out of there, and I was just, it's a whole new thing. I got baptized in the Jordan River by Jonathan Kahn shortly after that, and now to be able to go out and speak out for Jesus like I did a pillow. Shortly after that, on the back of my book, I went to a Pulse event, and I prayed with 50,000 millennials and led them in prayer. And that was where the callings come full circle. Now, here's a kid that couldn't speak, a guy that couldn't talk to people. Mm-hmm. God's using it for this, to get the message out of Jesus. And to me, That's I can't think of in my life. I mean, you can't even make this up. It was God chasing me all along. But what I really needed was that personal relationship.
Amen. In 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord." Mike Lindell's story is a story of God's grace, God's mercy. As Mike said, the Lord was chasing him. And Mike, I am so glad that you know what it is now to trust Jesus, to surrender to him, and to experience that personal relationship. And I pray that God will continue to bless you and use you to reach many, many others. Thank you for taking time to be on the broadcast with us.
Yeah, I want to say one more thing, too, that with my book that's out there, you can get it at mystore.com, the pre-sale. And I want to say this, the money for that is going to help launch, it's called the Lindell Recovery Network. It's going to help addicts across the country come to Jesus. This was a download from God, and it's absolutely going to save millions. Not just get them off drugs, but get them to Jesus. And that I want to get it launched early. I'm financing the whole thing myself, so I'm using the pre-sales from these books to help get this launched right away.
Wonderful. Mike, thanks so much for sharing that, and thank you for the various ways in which you are sharing God's love with people.
Thanks for having me on.
We appreciate it, Mike. God bless you. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.